I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips because Rod and Karen are so hot.
Hey, welcome to another episode of the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. I'm your host, Rod, joined as always by my co-host,
Karen.
And we're live on a Tuesday, ready to do some podcasting. Find us everywhere you find podcasts. Leave us 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. We want to read some on Saturday when we do our feedback show. So get out there and make sure y'all are leaving them, you know?
Yeah, anywhere in the world, if your country allows you to leave them, we will find you and read them.
Yep. Of course, the official weapon of the show is?
Phone chair.
An unofficial sport.
Bullet ball. I had to think.
And bullet ball. Extreme. Any banter before we get started today, Karen? It's banter. Fuck it. I gotta make this money with these commercials. Let's play some music.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Vital signs all appear normal.
Feeling, the quality of a thing as imparted through touch. I have been called vision.
All right, so I had a couple quick things for banter today. Karen thought about something. All right, so she got some. We got some late breaking incoming banter.
We do.
Prepare yourself. The first is. I woke up today. I didn't feel like going for a walk. That was my thing I got to do today. And it was going to be hotter than normal. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to try to go when it's cool. But I was like, it's getting hot. I'll just go drive to the Y. But my service engine soon light came on. And I Googled everything about it. It was yellow, which means it's not a major thing. If it's red, that means basically...
you had to pull over your shit about to bring down.
Yeah, if it's red, it's dead. If it's yellow, let it mellow.
Red is dead.
So I was like, I looked up and it said, okay, so the causes can be like you just need an oil change or your filter change or something. I said, okay, maybe it's that. So I went to the 15-minute oil change place. And got my oil changed, and that place is expensive now. I remember when it first started a few years ago, you get your oil changed like about $30. Now it's like $55.
Ah, they went up.
Yeah, so I got my oil.
But you're going to get done in 15 minutes, though.
Well, yeah, this time. But sometimes you go up there and it's not. But it is what it is. I still think my idea of the NASCAR pit crew oil change station is entire place is... is a $1 billion idea, but who knows? I feel like a place where you can get all your tires changed in 45 seconds would be the line would be up the street, but
yes, it would.
That's just me. So I got my oil change, the light still didn't come off. I'm like, fuck it, I guess I'll just go to like a shop. And so I went to another shop that does specialize in that kind of stuff. They said, to hook up the machine to even check to see why the light came on, $150.
Yep, the diagnostics test. Oh, they kill me with that bullshit. They like, because that's one of them things where they do it and some niggas did be like, I want to get the job done. They were like, we ain't doing this shit for free. Give us
$150. $150 just sounds hella expensive. I just feel like it can't possibly cost that to hook up the machine.
No.
It probably take a few seconds. Mm-hmm. My guess is they make it an exorbitant amount so that because what they basically say is when something is wrong, because something's wrong, whatever it costs, they'll waive that amount of the fee.
Ah.
Which I think is to get you to stay there because... what I'm going to do, give you $150, drive down the street with my light still on?
Right.
Or you told me this thing costs even $500. Well, now you're going to waive the $150 So I'm really in my mind doing the math of like, well, I really only paid $350 for that, you know, as opposed to being like, oh, I'll just shop around, see if I can find somewhere cheaper or whatever. Anyway, mm-hmm. It turns out it was my mass air inflow sensor or some shit like that, which basically was $400. So I had to pay $400 to get that shit fixed. I did Google to make sure that that was the right amount for my car and stuff. And everybody was basically, and it was $400 once you added tax. It was like, mm-hmm. basically you're going to be paying between at the lowest $260 something and at the highest $370 something. And then you throw in the tax. And
okay. Boom.
Anyway, I got that done. We had lunch. It was weird talking to Karen on the phone because suddenly she couldn't remember where anything in the city was.
No, I was mentally thinking. Sorry.
Mentally thinking. Okay. I was just like, yeah, I'm up the street at the place I took my car last time that you picked me up from. And then we went and got lunch at Moosehead. And she's just like, well, and I'm like, naming every business. What? Well,
I don't know why I couldn't remember that goddamn place.
Anyway, so then we go into lunch, and because once she got there, my car was actually done by the time she got there, but she just wanted to go to lunch at that point. I was like, cool. And I'm like, all right, we can go to this place. It was too crowded. Okay, this place. Oh, wait, we'll just go here. And where's that at? And I'm like, we've been there so many times. But anyway, But I was proud of myself because at the end of the day, I still did take my walk. It was 86 degrees, but it was cloudy. And
it wasn't really humid, was it?
I don't know. Humidity is not the problem for me. Okay. If it's just hot, hot and there's no wind and there's no cloud cover, it just fucking sucks for me. And I don't like that. So, I always take my water with me and shit. But, you know, I went ahead and did it. And I was proud of myself because I was just like, I had every excuse to be like, I'm just going back to bed. Start this day over. Fuck it. We'll get on it tomorrow. Today sucked.
You get an A for effort. You tried, sir.
I'm $400 plus $55 for oil change now. It's right. Crazy out here. But, yeah, so I went ahead and became the person that, you know, I always looked at when I was driving my car, eating some Bojangles, and I'd be looking at them walking down the street, and I'd be like, man, that's what I need to be doing.
Power walking, yes,
and then
sir.
I'd be like, no, I'm not. I'm not power walking, so I don't know what you're talking about. But I'd be like, they walking, and I'd be like, they out there exercising. Good for them. That's what they, I need to be doing that. Delicious fries. So now I'm both of those people, you know. Sometimes I'm the one eating in my car, and sometimes I'm the one walking down the street on the other side of the window.
That's growth. You can be both.
Yeah. Get you a man that can do both. What were you going to say?
Oh, speaking of lunchtime, when we went out for lunch, because I work from home, I don't forget, but we normally eat like later in the day. And so a lot of places we were thinking of was packed. We wanted to go to this one place and it didn't look crowded, but man, once you got close, it was like all the spots were taken. I was like, oh yeah, it's in the middle of lunch, outside and opened up again. Niggas was like, I got to go get something to eat. And so everybody was packed and crowded. So me and Roger went to a place and it wasn't crowded, but you know, we had an interesting conversation because we were talking about like all the things that was going on. You was like, yeah, it might not be that crowded, but you was like, I bet you for the kitchen, it's still jumping because people might not be coming in, but they ordering to go and DoorDash. And even a lot of people working from the offices now, they park their car and they don't go nowhere else because, you know, the cost of gas and maintenance and all that shit. A lot of people go, nope, I come in early so I can get a good parking space. I'm not leaving my spot. So that, you know, and a lot of places that made it a lot more convenient, like a lot of jobs make it where they do a form of DoorDash for the building or something like that. Like a lot of food services are like strictly for businesses now. I know at my job, that's what they do, where you can basically, they give you a list of restaurants, like literally every day of the week, like 5-6 restaurants, so you can pick, and they'll tell you what time it's supposed to be there, when it should arrive, you know, and things like that. And if it's late, they'll actually reimburse you a percentage and things like that. They do a lot of business parks and stuff. I started doing more food trucks and things like that, so they're making it a lot more convenient for the people that are coming into work, and you have more people doing hybrid now, so you don't have people that are like every day of the week anymore and stuff like that, you know, because I think in my mind, I keep forgetting it's pre-restaurants and it's pre-pandemic restaurants and post-pandemic restaurants. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I be forgetting, I'd be just saying shit, and I'd be like, you know what, Karen? It's not the same scenario, because, you know, back in the day, if it's like in the middle of lunchtime and you ain't jumping, I was like, oh, your lunch must suck, you know, because for a lot of people, if I got an hour, 30 minutes for lunch, tops, I can't wait 25 minutes for my food. It's going to be a problem, and people will just stop coming. But I forgot, yeah, people ordering habits and how they do lunch and interact with restaurants now have changed a lot.
I feel like moths are caterpillars that just grew up and became night owls, you know, like they sleep in all day, and I identify with them. I've been seeing a lot of caterpillars on my walk lately, and I'm always wondering if, like, they're going to be moths or they're going to be butterflies, because I can't tell, you know? And what happens if you open up the cocoon while the caterpillar is still changing?
Like, I don't know.
Do they
know.
Die? Like,
I'm assuming
so. Do they come
so,
out like some
know.
Weird half-caterpillar, half-butterfly creature? I don't know. Scientists, get on that.
I have no idea.
So, that's it for my banter stuff. You ready for the show?
Mm-hmm, if you are.
All right, cool. Let me, play some of this show music.
Psycho.
Music.
Today has been one of those days where you're looking at the news, or I'm looking at the news, and it's just one of those days that makes you mad, because it's just like, oh my God. And it happens every time. It happens a couple times a year, but it happens every time the Supreme Court is in session and they're about to start ruling on things. Mm-hmm. And so some of these hearings and stuff really show which way they're leaning on things. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to do, and I'm going to try to avoid, just for the sake of time, and also you've heard it enough, the rant on if you motherfuckers would have voted for Hillary, because obviously we're all thinking it. All us right-minded people are thinking it. And people are still, some people are still stuck in the...
They're still bullshitting.
They're still stuck in the, like, she's a bad candidate. Worse than Trump? Worse than Biden, even? No. She's a good candidate. For what we've come to expect of people running for president, she was pretty exemplary, if we're being honest. But she was a woman. And so the sins stuck to her in a way that they just did not stick to these white men. And obviously, Donald Trump is clearly a much, much, much worse candidate than she was. And it just didn't matter for people. It wasn't enough. And we knew an open Senate, an open Supreme Court seat was on the line. So we knew. And I think there's no better referendum on the American people than the fact that we had an open Supreme Court seat and we collectively decided, not a woman, though. Let's let this guy be in charge, you know, and so now when you see a 6-3 majority, and you see the leanings of these rulings where it's starting to sound like that they have a court case with about a January 6th person that was accused of obstructing justice, you know, obstructing the proceedings, because that was what they came there to do. Well, the Supreme Court is being like, well, didn't you charge him with enough stuff, trespassing and stuff? Why you got to charge him with obstructing? Now, people might go, well, obstructing an official proceeding, how's that really that big a deal, whether or not they you know, try to get him for that? It can relate back to Trump, because a lot of these cases against, or some of these cases against Trump with the DOJ and stuff is literally about him trying to obstruct the swearing in of a new president. And so if the Supreme Court goes, we don't see this as obstruction, then if the January 6th people didn't obstruct, then you can't say that Trump encouraged or or, you know, like was promoting an insurrection, because hey, there is no obstruction of an official proceeding as far as we're concerned on the Supreme Court level. So it may hurt Jack Smith's case. Now, of course, Trump spends more time in court than LeBron James over the last 20 years. So, like, he'll.
Yes, he does.
There's other trials and cases that he's facing. He's in court today, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. So,
this
but.
Is one of the case he having right now is one of the ones. They was like, stop bullshitting, bring your ass to court. We not delaying no more. The trial is on, bitch. The rest of them, they delayed.
So, yeah, it's, you know, and I saw this news, and it's infuriating. You know, I don't know how people are able to just, you know, look this off like it's not a big deal. Is this, you know, this, because, you know, they have this person and Trump dead to rights. They definitely tried to. We didn't imagine that they were climbing up the Capitol building. We saw that. He told them he would meet them down there. We know what the fuck would happen. And yet. Because power is the ultimate arbiter of Republican justice, they have 6-3. And if this comes to pass and he gets completely off the hook, it won't matter if Merrick Garland would have started the investigation from day zero. It really won't matter. Because at the end of the day, we lost it in 2016 when people was like, not her. You know?
The American people didn't do their job. And I've realized a lot of it is the American public don't want to hold their fellow Americans accountable for fucking this up. Your cousins, your friends, your aunts, your uncles, your coworkers, it's a lot of people around you that fucked this up. And if you were to really call them out and actually pour that anger towards them, a lot of people, they don't have the backbone to do it. And they won't. And it's more of white people holding white people accountable more than any other group. You know, other groups got people in them that's fucked up too, but it's about white people holding other white people accountable. And they right. don't have the heart nor the wherewithal to hold their fellow grandpa, grandma, great grandma. They don't want to hold them accountable and are like, I lost my rights because of you. Right. I can't do the things. I lost my right to have an abortion because of you. I lost my right to do IVF because of you. You know, I lost a lot of rights because of you, because then you would have to look at them very, very differently. And all these fond memories that you have of them would slowly fade away and you would see them for the bigots and the racists that they are. But you don't want to see them like that. And I get it, because they raised you. They fed you. They were around you. So it's very hard for you to separate and be like, oh, my family members ain't shit. That's very hard for just white Americans to do. You just can't do it. And so as a total, you have some white people that do it, but a lot of times when you do it, it comes at a cost. You're going to get kicked out of the social club. Particularly if you're really loud about it and shit like that, you're not going to be, quote unquote, a part of whiteness. Or either they'll accept you, but to a certain extent. And it's just very frustrating to realize that y'all are a lot of the problems of why we are where we are.
Yeah, I think I don't necessarily agree with that part of it, because I think we overestimate and overvalue this idea that if they said something to their conservative family or stood up to them, something would happen. I don't think shit would happen. I think black people, we go to Thanksgiving all the time. We have that those people in our family that we're like, this motherfucker. But we also know that not passing them the gravy ain't gonna make them not do whatever the fuck conservative or bullshit they believe. Your homophobic auntie isn't, you're not gonna clap back at Thanksgiving and get her straight and now she's gonna be pro LGBTQ. So it's not, I don't even care about their personal dynamics, their families. I don't give a fuck about Thanksgiving, any of this shit. The stuff I'm talking about isn't even really about whiteness, and it's not even really about Republican voters. It's honestly about the people that I think it was 70,000 votes total in three states, or something like that. It's about the people that, you know, couldn't bear to vote for Hillary Clinton. And now we're losing rights left and right. And this man, it'll be the ultimate irony if this man will not be held accountable, not because of Merrick Garland, which y'all have been complaining about, right, not because Jack Smith, which y'all have been complaining about, not because of any of that, but because you refuse to recognize what was on the line in 2016, and there's no amount of making up you can do because there's not a time machine. It's our problem. The American citizens who knew better but didn't do better. If I was smart enough to know to vote for it, I don't know anything more than most of these motherfuckers.
Right.
That matter of fact, they think they know everything and will never stop telling you how they know every fucking thing.
Yeah, don't shame them and
but
shit.
But at the end of the day, they didn't do what I thought was obvious and we're paying for it. And so, yeah, you go ahead and do your rant and be mad at Joe Biden, American, fucking everybody else, Jack Smith and everybody else. Be mad at Fannie Willis and she fucked this nigga. What if it don't matter because at the end of the day, they got 6-3 on the Supreme Court and that happened on your watch.
Right.
While you were bitching and moaning, that happened. While you were staying home, while you were telling everybody it don't matter, same side. While that happened, you know, when Colin Kaepernick was saying two sides of the same coin, you know, when people were saying earn this damn vote or lose, mm-hmm, when people was saying I'll stay home, what is it, a little bit of poison in the water or a lot, when people were saying that
they
dumb
both
shit,
the same.
You know, it's just very ironic, mm-hmm, that is when this, that's the real problem, and there's no amount of blaming Hillary Clinton that's gonna change fundamentally to me what I think is the problem.
Right. And it's excuse me, and it's also for me, I want actions, and a lot of people, they don't really want actions. They rather look good and not succeed than to actually quote unquote look bad and get shit done. And I don't fuck with that, because I'm like, who gives a fuck about you looking good if nothing gets done, or everything that gets done is counter to what you say you really want. So in my logical thinking, I was like, oh, nigga, you stupid. Like all this shit is stupid. The things that you want done, tell me what Republican is going to do it. The things that you want done, you tell me if certain people you put in office, will those things get accomplished? No. Well, then I don't understand.
Yeah, so it's looking bad. This Supreme Court session is going to be fucked up, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I saw someone brought up the DeRay McKesson thing, because they basically ruled that, I think that case has been going on
for a while.
It must have been, it had to been going on for like 5 or 6 years at least, right? Like,
that's been a long time.
It is crazy how long that case has been going on. He was sued by a police officer who was injured during Baton Rouge protests sparked by the killing of a black man. And they're basically using this to say people shouldn't have the right to assemble. And they're saying, like, he organized this protest and this officer was hurt, so now we got to pass a law to make sure that, you know, nobody can organize. And there's like 3 states now that are basically saying people can't organize,
and it won't stop
as of
there
right now. Yeah, as an officer who was hit in the head by a rock or a piece of concrete thrown by an unidentified person, the protest was sparked by the death of Alton Sterling after an altercation outside a convenience store where he was selling CDs. McKesson, who was represented by the American Civil Liberties Union, says his actions leading to protests are protected under the Constitution's First Amendment, which guarantees both free speech and the right to assemble. No justices dissented from the court decision not to hear the case, but liberal Justice Sonia Sotomayor wrote a statement explaining why the court did not need to intervene. She mentioned a recent Supreme Court ruling raising some of the same issues that could benefit McKesson as the litigation continues, basically saying this shit should go back down to the lower court. They should look at our ruling before this and rule on the side of DeRay and make sure that this shit is basically thrown out. But who fucking knows? You know, like, y'all also could have ended it. And the problem is, it's 6-3. Would they have ended it? Maybe this is a blessing, knowing these motherfuckers. They could have been like, actually, no, we agree. And that's enough for this protesting. Now, I think this is a huge tangent, but I think it's been interesting because one of the reasons I try to stay out of the social media activism back and forth is because people don't like each other. People have history with each other that we're not privy to. Mm-mm. People talk shit about each other and used to be best friends. People talk shit about each other. They work together. Maybe when they work together, that's when they decided they hate each other. I don't know. I'm not keeping up with Real Housewives when it comes to activism. Mm-hmm. I thought the goal was for us to get free. These things, these interpersonal dramas don't really seem to get us free. Mm-mm. I don't know how him losing this in the Supreme Court is good for anyone.
Right.
I don't know why anyone would be celebrating the idea of anything, of him losing the case and then us losing the right to protest in certain states. I can't imagine what personal drama would have happened to make somebody rejoice in that. You know, and I'm very, and I say this as a person that has had issues with folks in those spaces, and you ain't never heard me delight in their downfall or none of that shit, because, you know, whether I agree with how they work or what they do or whatever, at the end of the day, I know that their work and how they choose to do it is ultimately trying to help people, and people have been helped by that work. I know mm-hmm. the people that people talk about being helped in those spaces and stuff. So, you know, I think people that are on social media, y'all see we all see it. They want us to see it, the fighting and the shit. Mm-hmm. And I try to stay out. It's the same reason that, you know, there was a time when DeRay was going at Sean King, and I was like, I don't give a fuck. I can't, mm-mm. I cannot and will not give a fuck, because Rihanna got duped into giving that man an award or whatever. At the end of the day, I hate that, you know. Hate that for everybody that feels he didn't deserve that or shouldn't get the fame or the money or whatever comes with that. But at the end of the day, man, I know people that say he's helped them. I know families mm-hmm. that will vouch for him. Mm-hmm. So maybe he's scamming sometimes, and maybe people getting help sometimes. Also, I don't know a single activist who's still doing it that don't get accused of malfeasance.
Right.
Every last one of them. Like, it's crazy how you go down the line and it's an activist that don't like this motherfucker and that motherfucker. But on the bigger picture, I can't imagine this case actually helping us if he loses.
Right.
And at this point, with the, because this is what happens, it's a symbolic case. And so the ACLU and people stepping in, it's not about whatever petty, like he didn't really organize it or he came from out of town. It's not even about that at this point. At this point, it's about the right to peacefully assemble.
Right.
So who cares? Like, oh well, technically he it wasn't his protest. Oh, okay, well, I guess once you say that and then we lose or it's thrown out and we end up without the right to peacefully assemble in these three states, I mean, we got them. Nah, it's at this point you have to fight, because that I believe that's what the ACLU does in these situations. Like, we're fighting this shit to the highest level. We're not, we understand what happens if you lose or win this case. It matters to everybody. That's why they step in for shit like this. But yeah, it's really scary, because I don't know what's worse. Is if they rule on it and rule against DeRay and the right to assemble, or if they don't. We already know there's a lot of demagoguing and fear mongering about protests from black people about black lives. We already know mm-hmm. that. They always say it's a riot. They always say property mm-hmm. and people are going to get hurt, even though there's been many, 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 many cases of assembly and nobody's gotten hurt. Mm-mm. They always make protests and assembly sound dangerous. You know?
Right.
They're doing it with the Palestinian stuff now. They on a bridge. It's like, yeah, they're on a bridge. And yes, they're stopping traffic, but they're not hurting people for the most part. You know, you get this. There could be a million people protesting and you see one dust up and now they want to shut down the whole idea of the protest. You know, it's it comes when it comes to court, this shit becomes actually really important. This case has already bounced around the courts. Initially, a federal judge ruled in 2017. So it's been 7 years that he could not be sued. But the New Orleans based Fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals overturned that finding. He appealed to the Supreme Court, leading to a detour in litigation as the justices ordered further analysis on whether Louisiana law even allowed for a claim like the one the officer was bringing. The Supreme Court was asked to weigh in. The Louisiana Supreme Court was asked to weigh in on the state law question and confirmed that the claim could be brought. The appeals court in 2022 then reaffirmed that the officer's lawsuit could move forward. So they went to the Supreme Court for a second time. Among other things, the appeals court said the officer had plausibly alleged that McKesson helped create an unsafe situation by assembling outside the police station, failing to take any action to prevent looting, and leading protesters onto a public highway, which is illegal in Louisiana. Lawyers for the unnamed officer say the First Amendment does not protect against tort liability for the reasonably foreseeable consequences of one's own neglect, illegal, and dangerous activity, which is very funny coming from cops, especially cops that be dealing with protests and talking about violence. So, you know, this whole Black Lives Matter thing, this is the bigger point I was going to make. And, you know, matter of fact, you can go first because I've been talking for a while. Go ahead. I know you got some stuff to say.
Oh, yeah, I do. People underestimate when the Supreme Court make these judgments, how it impacts their dirty lives. And it goes back to some of the stuff we talked about before, how people said a lot of that shit did not matter. A lot of these same people will be complaining about a lot of these rulings. That's all you're going to see within the next few months until they end their session, is people complaining, but they really didn't do anything to actually prevent a lot of these rulings from happening. And what's so funny is people here in America would turn their nose up at other countries and about how they ran and about how they're not allowed to assemble and about how the country controls their things. Y'all know that that's what they're trying to do here too. You know, people watching, you know, documentaries about how countries, you know, have literally killed people for protesting and things like that. And, you know, people take a lot of the freedoms we have here for granted, and they act like they're going to always be here, and they do not realize that every freedom that you have, somebody had to fight and die for it. Like, literally, somebody had to fight and die for it, particularly here in America. Like, I don't know about no other country, but here. And it's one of those things where it's very frustrating, because when you talk about assembly, people assemble for all types of reason. And it doesn't always mean protests, and it doesn't always mean a strike or anything like that. But who gets to determine what's a peaceful place to assemble, and who gets to determine where you assemble and all that type of shit? So, you know, in my mind, like I said, and the way my mind goes is, go, okay, well, where do you draw the line? You know, because this basically is going to target Black and brown and other people when they make these laws. They ain't going to go after a lot of white people shit. Unless there's some white people against, like, the police and shit like that, then they're gonna be like, nah, fuck y'all too.
They just said January 6th wasn't obstruction. Like, this is definitely that's why, like I said, I can't get with the shitting on him for this case. It's just, they're telling you what's up right now. They're telling you January 6th, that's fine. They're telling you that. And then they want to trump this bullshit up and be like, yeah, now this shit was fucked up. We not even going to look at it. Like, go and fight in court for 7 more years. Like, I don't see how you let that slide.
And it becomes very, very frustrating, because then if you do this, like somebody talk about unions, you know. So if the police union starts protesting, y'all breaking y'all own laws, are y'all going to have to be arrested when y'all get upset about unfairness? Or right. If what y'all do is okay, though.
And it's, what do we deem as an unsafe protest?
Right.
Because then it becomes extremely subjective. Mm-hmm. Black people marching for someone getting shot, unsafe. White people marching because they want to overturn the election, what's wrong with that? You know? The other thing, too, is, are we still marching?
No.
You know, are we still marching? Because I would say 2012, You know, I think that's Trayvon Martin, yeah. Maybe 2010.
People haven't marched in a long time. Like, I don't know about nobody else, but I've been paying attention. When Trump took office, he shut a lot of that shit down. People stopped protesting. People stopped marching in the street. COVID was the one thing that kind of bought everybody out, and I think it bought everybody out because they was tired of being fucking shut up in the house.
I said that at the time, and I felt bad to say it, but I felt like I'm compelled to try to be honest when we do this show. I try to be tactful about it, but I gotta be honest. And I was like, this feels part of this groundswell for George Floyd felt like people going, well, this is a reason I can justify leaving my house.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's still no vaccine. Yes, we're still supposed to be in lockdown, but hey, I'm doing this for the right reason. Now, are we also just happy to be in person and community with each other? Are we outside? Are we yeah, we are. And it was countries all over the world. Like, it wasn't just America. It was everyone in lockdown being like, yes, we're outside. But once again, are we still marching? Because when there are still black people being killed by police, I saw a video today of a woman being shot in a man's yard. Like, there are people marching for Palestine and organizing, but it's not people marching for black people dying anymore. Now, and I don't mean to denigrate the people that did that work, because they're activists and it's not a job. It's not something they have to do for the rest of their lives. But I will always make this point, is why I respect the work of Al Sharpton so much more than many other people, because he has dedicated his life to it. And he didn't have to. And he made an organization that will stand in his place long after he's dead.
Mm-hmm.
So that when people say, why didn't you step down and someone else will do it? Somebody else will. And he's already ensured that that'll happen, because he has a fucking network. He didn't make a leaderless organization.
Mm-mm.
He didn't take billions of dollars and then people go, where did the money go? And he's out chilling saying, you know what? Real revolution is me chilling with the homies and living in a mansion. He didn't say that. Like, he still to this day, you catch him out advocating for causes, advocating for people, speaking on injustice, showing up and giving attention and shining a light on people that call him to be like, hey, this injustice is happening locally. Can Al Sharpton help me? And even at his age now, he still goes out there. While all these other people that came to prominence through social media ended up kind of becoming victims of what social media is. It's a me thing. It's the camera pointing at you. So you end up becoming, it's like I'm tired. Injustice is still happening. Time for me to go back to my regular ass life. I'm not begrudging people for that.
Mm-mm.
But I just remember folks shitting on Al Sharpton and them. Well, Al's still here.
Yes, he is.
You know, he's still doing that work. Folks is out here just back to life, back to normal, living, doing their thing. And he's still in the fight. And there's a respect that comes with that, that they didn't have when they were talking shit about him.
Mm-mm.
And it made me go back and think about how much, now that it's kind of almost feels like it's over. Hate to say it, but it feels like it's over. It made me think about how much fighting was about credit.
Yes. Yeah.
It made me think about how much of the fighting between the activists was about credit and attention. Why he going on TV? Why she get the magazine cover? Why he get to go talk to the president? Oh, do you want to talk to the president? I refuse. I will not. I put out a statement. Okay, well, I'm sorry. I don't work for you, and we're not. I don't have to do what you're doing. You got your way of doing your activism. I got my way. Why so and so get the money for the car, the car commercial or whatever the fuck, And I'm not saying those things don't matter to anybody at all.
Right.
But what I am saying is, that shit is not important.
No.
And if you're talking about the issue of what the fuck we're supposed to be helping people with, it really don't fucking matter who got the TV commercial. At the end of the day, no one's going to remember that part. Oh, who did the interview on MSNBC versus who said I'm not going to do it? Who gives a fuck? Who went to go talk to the White House when they had Obama, a person that would try to help, and who said, I'm staying home, fuck Obama? no one remembers now. Can't tell you their names.
Nope.
For the most part. People like me that paid a lot of attention can. But for the most part, people don't remember that moment. It wasn't even that fucking important.
Right.
You know, there are activists who died mysteriously and we still don't know who the fuck did it.
Have no idea. I remember that. Yeah.
So my point being, like, things that were important to the cause kind of got thrown to the wayside because it really became a very vindictive and personal thing about what was important to just the people that were supposedly doing the work, you know? And I don't know how to tell those folks, cause I'm sure they're in it knee deep and it's very personal to them, but it's like on the outside as just a black person that's hoping we can get some progress out of all this, you splitting off to do a different company with a different person and this person getting money from different people to do this one and this person tracking this stat and this person making deals with these people this person doing this podcast. It ultimately did not fucking matter to us the way it mattered to y'all.
Right.
And at no point did it feel like, and now if we would have we would have been free. They would have stopped killing us if this hadn't happened. If Rihanna doesn't give Sean King that award, guys, we got it. You know, like none of it felt that important other than some mess. And I think what happened is a lot of people like mess.
Yes.
So of course they love the back and forth with activists because to them, they don't really respect the work. They just like, nope. It's Real Housewives to them. You see the most cattiest, jealous motherfuckers up in the middle of it. Some of them ain't never done nothing.
Mm-mm.
And they're just in there to be encourage the activists fighting and shit. Yeah, that motherfucker ain't shit. I heard. You know what I heard? Like, how is that helpful to anybody?
It's not. It's not helpful to anybody at all. And, you know, like we talked about before with the protesting, the mass across the country protest. There are still people protesting locally. But, you know, if you're living in one of these states that's banning it, that shit about to stop, too. You know, like in most local communities, particularly a lot of black communities, they have people that are in like stop the violence and all this shit. And somebody die, ain't up but five of them. They'll start protesting. They don't care. And it's like they're going to start shutting that shit down, too. And it's very frustrating because like for me, people are human. So it's very hard to look at and to do and to accomplish something that's a greater purpose and a greater cause than yourself. And that's what you're asking people to be selfless. And that goes against human nature. And it's very hard to ask people to stay consistently focused on the goal when they have their personal beef, their personal life, their personal drama, their personal hangups, their personal depression, their personal, you know, agendas. It's very hard to ask those people to consistently stay focused.
And their interpersonal conflicts. I'm not acting like this is new. You know, Adam Clayton Powell used to shit on MLK. MLK and Martin used to fight. Like, I know that that's what happens, you know. Ida B. Wells almost didn't make the history books because of how much beef she had with fellow activists who basically wrote her out of everything like she didn't fucking exist. And if her daughter didn't find her an incomplete autobiography, we would have never known how much of a badass she was. But at the end of the fucking day, I just think people got caught up in the wrong shit.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I remember what podcast it was on or what interview it was, but I do remember the person who said it was Rosa Clemente, who's an activist, political commentator, journalist, a bunch of stuff. And she was being interviewed, and this was, man, this had to be maybe 18 years ago. And they were asking her about activism, and something she said always stuck with me, and I'm sure I'm going to fuck up the paraphrasing of it, but it was essentially like, by the time you're on the magazine cover, by the time you're on the TV show, the whatever, right? By the time your picture is of the activist, right? By the time the activist is being acknowledged, you are no longer dangerous. And that stuck out with me. That stuck out with me so, because I remember thinking at the time being like, because, you know, this was a long time ago, I was like, damn, for real? Like, that sound like kind of some hating, man. Like, they finally getting their work acknowledged. But she was so right. you're not dangerous anymore. I'm not saying you're corrupted or you, but the system has adjusted to you. Like, right, they're comfortable acknowledging you because you don't present a clear and present danger to the status quo anymore.
Right.
They're putting you up there to acknowledge you because it's the way we acknowledge Muhammad Ali once he couldn't really speak. You know,
yes, sir.
You know, the way we acknowledge so many other active, the way they love MLK on both sides now because he's dead.
Right.
You know, once you're on the cover, you're just not, the idea is not as dangerous anymore. And what was social media activism? And we're all human. I'm not, once again, not denigrating the activists as if they're somehow worse than us. I just think it's a human thing. But when you are a social media activist, whether you do activism offline too, what is social media if not the cover of the magazine? What is the goal of social media if not the selfie, if not the Instagram post, if not the, you know, the viral whatever? And years later now, looking at where we're at, where right now today some black dude's gonna get killed by the police, some black woman's gonna get killed by the police, some whoever, someone's gonna, we ain't marching, names ain't trending,
not like we did before.
You know, it's just not a thing anymore. And ultimately, like I said, when I think about that case and DeRay and the people I saw like sniping at him, and I just think, oh, this is the full, this is the fruition of that environment of combining social media activism and clout into one thing. No matter who you think violated who, no matter who you think is right or wrong, end of the day, it looked like mess from the outside in. It doesn't look like anything is being helped by this shit. So, appreciate the question. I wasn't planning on talking about that. Let's see. Trump has to go to court after his first day of hush money. Criminal trial ends with no jurors picked.
Yeah, because so many people was like, I'm not unbiased. You know? Cause,
who doesn't have an opinion on him now?
Right.
He was president.
Because you asked me, I'm like, that nigga did it. Nigga, hey, I'm like, ma'am, get your ass out of here.
Well, they picked 7 jurors. So I guess this is an updated article now when I clicked on it. First 7 jurors are chosen. Excuse me. They still need 11 more. So I don't know how long this normally takes to pick jurors, but
I don't think, yeah, they like, this is going to be a while because you get to really asking questions, like really digging, and both sides going to get a chance to get at you. And the average person is going to end up saying some shit, but they were like, no. One side's going to be like, no.
And this is about him paying, I believe, Stormy Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's just, and I know he has to be in court for this. And this judge is like, I'll arrest you if I have to. Don't be in here trying to do shenanigans.
Yeah, this is
that.
One judge is like, I'm not here for the shit show. No.
Well, they talk a good game, but he's going to violate that shit. And we'll see.
Of course.
So, you know, I can't really get to it. Like, yeah, the judge is talking, but I've watched other judges make similar speeches. And then he goes out and immediately fucks it over, you know? So, let's see what else happened. Did I have any more Trump shit? Just so we can get it all over.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, well, you already talked about the Supreme Court abolishing the right to protest in 3 states. That's the DeRay case.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, I think that's it. All right. Jonathan Majors got sentenced to a year of batterer intervention program, so not jail, for assaulting his ex, Grace Jabari.
I didn't even know that existed.
You didn't know that there's all kinds of programs for domestic violence and stuff. There's a bunch of stuff that keep people from going to jail for that shit.
No, I didn't know like that program, like not that he was put in it, but you know, like
batterer intervention program. You did not know it existed. I know
right.
What you're saying.
Okay.
I'm saying I was a little surprised you didn't know. This is a very common thing. It's actually pretty rare, even for a non-famous celebrity. It's actually pretty rare for people to go to jail for a first offense assault, even in a domestic violence situation. Like it almost takes years of shit.
A repeat offense.
Restraining orders violated, stalking, repeated physical assaults before they actually put you in jail.
Yeah, they're like, fuck it, you got to go to jail now.
Yeah, very rarely is it a first time, because I believe it's the first offense at anything. Very rarely is it he's going to jail, which is why I said I didn't think he would go to jail, but, you know, people are acting like him no longer being an it guy in Hollywood is somehow worse than jail or some shit. But at any rate, he'll have to do this intervention program. I think there's still another case involving her, Grace Jabari, and I don't know if it's like a civil case now, but
might be.
I think so. This shit is not really over, and his publicity is still gonna take a huge hit. Let's see. Biden administration announces new partnership with 50 countries to stifle future pandemics. Just doing the quiet work of being president and being an administration that's trying to help.
He don't do shit.
I don't care about that part. What I wonder is what happens if Trump gets in office. Because he ain't going to honor this shit.
No, he will not.
Yeah, he won't give a fuck. So we'll find out how much people really care or want this.
Agreed.
But there's going to be, this is just one of many, many, many things that, much like the Obama administration, it took Trump getting in office before people was like, damn, we had this right? Mm-hmm. Wow, we just lost another program? Wow, that was, okay. I thought he never did nothing for nobody. Okay.
Right.
Keeping it political, The View audience booed Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson for his refusal to endorse a 2024 presidential candidate. Yeah, he went on The View on Friday morning and earned a round of boos. As part of the day's hot topics, the ABC host pulled up a clip of Johnson during an interview this week with Fox and Friends, in which he explained that he previously supported and endorsed President Biden, but he wouldn't be doing so again this year. He noted that he's not happy with the state of the country, but explained that his decision is based more on what people will think rather than his political views. Am I going to do that again this year? The answer is no, I'm not going to do that, because what that caused back then was something that tears me up in my guts back then and now, which is division.
Well, then it's Trump. The fuck you talking about? There's no other option.
Just division, Karen. This is that thing. That cowardice, that cop out. No, not who created the division. It's the same thing they did with Obama. He was a very divisive president. Mm-hmm. Why?
Right. Why?
How? How was he divisive? You know, well, I just feel like there's a lot of, like, racial animus that popped up. Okay, but, like, from him?
Right.
What was divisive? Because if you say people being racist and bigoted is divisive, you define that as divisive, I wouldn't. I wouldn't put that on the person for existing and doing their job, right? You know? As soon as the clip ended, host Joy Behar attempted to tee up the core question of the segment, but was cut off by loud booing from the audience. The reaction was so strong it even startled some laughter out of Behar herself. First of all, should I pay attention to who gives an interview on Fox, where they lie every day? She said once she was finally able to speak. From there, the host debated whether or not celebrities should be obligated to endorse political candidates, and for the most part, they agreed that the real obligation is simply just telling people to vote. But at the end of the day, host Anna Navarro had a theory as to why Dwayne Johnson is refusing to side one party. Everybody loves The Rock, and The Rock wants everybody to love him, she said. Yeah, I think also he has alluded to wanting to run for president one day. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he still has those aspirations.
Right. I remember this years ago.
Yeah, so I mean, maybe that's what it is that cynical. He's like, I just want to be the person that everyone likes. Here's what I'll say. If it's that, then I can't imagine a dumber thing to say.
Right.
And here's why. And this is what America doesn't want to admit to themselves. And it doesn't matter if you're liberal or conservative, both sides are having a problem admitting this. Joe Biden is the compromise.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say that again. Joe Biden is the compromise. So there is no center more center than him. You can't out-center Joe Biden, because being the only adult in the room and governing as a president that is going to be president of America, good or bad, right, meaning hey, you don't have to like me. I'm just doing what I think is best for the country and best for everybody. Sometimes I'm gonna piss the liberal people off because I ain't gonna go far enough. Sometimes I'm gonna piss the Republican people off every day because they just don't even want me to be president. They think right. I shouldn't be allowed to be president.
Agreed.
But the point being, if you are supposedly this third party guy, this I'm gonna come in and be the moderate, you can't out moderate him. You can't out moderate him. He's the most moderate.
Mm-hmm. Like you can't out Trump. Trump.
He's yes. got everybody that has some sort of pragmatic center is, and it's not because I think they want to. They have been forced to essentially concede that he is as center as we're gonna get. You know, like even your AOCs and shit are like, yeah, I see what it is now in this country.
Yes.
And while in my district, I might be able to get us into a liberal utopia for America, America's not my district.
Right.
It's bigger than that. It's a bunch of people that don't get down like that.
All right.
And for the conservative people, you even see conservative and moderate Republicans, especially the ones who don't want to fuck with Trump, being like, yeah, you just got to fuck with Biden. They don't want to.
They do not.
They much rather have a president who's like anti-abortion and all that other shit that they do want to support. But they're just like, the extremes are so extreme. It's Marjorie Taylor Greene or this, right. Then give me him. And so if you're cynically trying to parse some space out where you're going to get the most people in the center, I don't know how you're going to. He got you in checkmate already. You just can't out-center him. So if that's what The Rock was doing, which we don't know, maybe he's just kind of scared of any backlash, but he wasn't 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. Trump is the same two candidates.
Right.
So I don't know what would have really changed, but then maybe that's just how he feels, but if not, ugh. A technology executive predicts that AI girlfriends will create $1 billion business.
They're very popular in Japan.
AI girlfriends?
Oh, not AI, but you mean like on the computer? Out of like computer girlfriends?
It's only a matter of time before someone builds the next billion-dollar dating app that will pair real life users with artificially intelligent created girlfriends, according to a tech executive.
Oh,
Greg Eisenberg, okay. CEO of Late Checkout, wrote a blog post on X, in which the fact that you can write a blog post on X, fuck Elon for the rest of his life.
Right.
In which he shared that he met a man in Miami who admitted to me that he spends $10,000 a month on AI girlfriends. I thought he was kidding, but he's a 24-year-old single guy. He loves it. When asked about when someone asked him about what he loves about it, the man is quoted as saying, "Some people play video games. I play with AI girlfriends." So I'm looking at the AI girlfriends, and it just looks like AI pictures of scantily clad women. Like,
yeah, you just want a woman you can control. Just admit that.
Like, this is a picture of an AI girlfriend, virtual girlfriend at the top. Which, I mean, this is like an artist rendering.
Oh, so it's not like okay, I'm with you now, yes.
It looks like it looks like if you play Final Fantasy, what a cutscene looks like.
Mm-hmm.
This one, I noticed they're all white. These are other pictures of these AI girlfriends.
Yeah, they don't be black and brown at all.
Oh, there go one. Amaya. Okay, she can get my coins, my bitcoins. But the thing I will say is, because I see this sometimes on YouTube, it'll be like hot grandmas or something. It's clearly just AI. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing it on Instagram for a while. It was like, look at this church. And it would always be a scantily clad black woman in like a tight church outfit with the like, you know, the mm-hmm. cleavage popping. And it's clearly not a real person.
Right.
It's just someone fucking around with AI, seeing if they can fool people and get you to follow it and shit. And they never admitted to it being a joke or whatever. I think some commercials have it. There's commercials that come on in the middle of the day here that are like, go to this law firm. And it's like these really super beautiful black women and revealing tight, like, lawyer clothes, but clearly I'm like, when you go to this law office, that's
you
not who
not
works there.
You're not seeing that woman, right?
You know,
that's a paid actress.
Used to be a time where we had standards, and you go find you a Hooters waitress, and you put her in a suit, and you take pictures of a real life person. But now they got AI to do it.
Mm.
But my bigger point is, when the titties come out, my antenna goes up. No, not in a sexual way that y'all are thinking. Because I feel like artificial intelligence, for the most part, is a big ass scam that's happening right now. I don't believe in it.
It's not good right now.
Sure, let me be fooled later. Oh, they got me.
Eventually,
I'm okay being on the cutting edge of. I think this whole industry is some house of cards bullshit. It's the latest bubble that's gonna burst. The greed of corporations and executives are making them go out and spend this money to be like, yeah, we need to, anything that can cut the labor and fuck up our employees, we'll just let AI write the scripts. We'll just let AI sell the burgers. We'll just let AI. And at the end of the day, it just reminds me of so many things when I was in corporate America where they promised something.
And it didn't.
And the fucking people at the top who don't do the work were like, yeah.
Right.
Because you don't need real human brains and stuff to make this work. You just automate the whole thing.
That shit got executed and it fucking flopped.
It never worked. And then our job became fixing the automation that didn't work.
Yes, fixing and correcting.
And they want to do that with writing, by the way. They were like, oh, artificial intelligence scripts, and then we'll pay writers as consultants, not writers, to come in and fix what the computer did. No. That means it can't do it. That's
right.
How it works. That means it can't write the script, if you're going to be fair. And once the titties come out, though, that's when I know it's a scam. Because nothing says scam like, here's some fake titties. This, like, the original email scam was Nigerian scammers sending you pictures of, you know, some model and being like, oh, I'm a prince and I need some money. Mm-hmm. And people would fall for that shit. A dating app matching you with an AI girlfriend, like, that's not the biggest loser shit in the world. All I'm hearing is that here's a guy with a product to sell. I don't know what it is. AIGirlfriend.com,
right.
AI girlfriend dating app. Whoever this fucking guy is selling us something, and he expects us to be fooled because look at them titties on this fake picture.
Yes, like
even the picture on the wall in the background look like fake titties.
And the thing is, it's not naturally proportion, the dimensions don't make sense for a natural woman.
It's like what a boy draws in his fourth grade classroom when
yes.
he's thinking about. It's like what comic book artists used to draw women heroes as.
It's like fan fiction for anime.
Yeah, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. Fan service,
fan service. I got fan fiction. My
it's
bad.
Ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. But yeah, it's
they were like boobies. Here you go.
Nothing says hustle like the titties coming out. Okay,
right?
Listen, every woman in the chat room will tell you that. When it's time to hustle, unbutton the button on that blouse. It's time.
I'm gonna push them up.
It's time. Okay, I'm getting free drinks tonight, girl.
Girl and child, bounce and make it work, honey.
Not paying for shit.
Right.
Everybody knows when the titties come out, something fitting to be going on.
And don't get mad at me, because that's how the game works.
Yeah. Go to the strip club, what they got in there? Titties and hustling.
And ass, yes.
Titties and hustling. That's what the fuck is going on in there. It's, oh, you want, here comes some titties. Well, shit, let me just get my wallet out. I already know what this is. Doctor claims men in the U.S. are peeing incorrectly. A survey has revealed that the position that many U.S. men pee in, and a urology doctor has weighed in. A survey conducted last year analyzed the way different men from across the globe position themselves when they relieve their bladders. However, it found that many men in the U.S. aren't peeing in the most effective and health-conscious way. The survey conducted last year by YouGov investigated where in the world men sit down to wee. Thinking about times where you go to the toilet to only urinate, i.e. only have to pee, not also have to poo. How often do you sit down in order to do so? The percent of men in each country. In Germany, 60% saw a solid stream of men sit down to release their bladders. Sit-down wees aren't quite as popular in locations like the UK and the US. The US is 23%. That's the overall... Wait. In the US in particular, second on overall percentage of 23. Wow. With 10% of men sitting down every time, 13%. Most of the time, 23%. 23 sometimes and 17% rarely. 6 not having the foggiest idea what the survey was harping about, and 31% never sitting down at all. So yeah, according to Gerald Collins, a consultant for the urological surgeon at the Alexandra Hospital, there is a way which is generally considered the most healthy way to pee. The sitting position is probably the most efficient way to properly enter your empty your bladder. And if you're a woman reading this, then you'll probably know the joys of what not emptying your bladder can lead to. All penis owners, if you're not being here before, welcome to the chat. Okay, this is kind of a spicy article. If you don't empty your bladder, it can lead to all sorts of health issues for urinary tract infections. Yes, those of the penis can get them too. To kidney infections, should your symptoms worsen, or even bladder stones. All of those conditions could come worse and greater risk as you grow older. If you develop a condition called benign prostatic hyperplasia, BPH, which Colin says typically occurs from the early 40s onwards, it causes an enlarged prostate. So it can do stuff like block the flow of urine out your bladder. It can also cause bladder, urinary tract, or kidney problems. So I guess sit down to pee, guys.
And the thing is, I wonder in these countries, how are children potty trained? I wonder, does that make a difference too, and who potty trains them? Mm-hmm. You know, because you know, you learn at an early age, and most people just keep whatever habits that they've learned as a child as they grow up. I feel like,
don't you kind of have to have kids sit, no matter they boy or girl, at the beginning? Like when you're potty trained, I feel like you don't have a choice but to sit. You definitely ain't got the hand-eye coordination as a toddler to stand and pee. So
yeah,
and I feel like at the beginning, you must learn to sit. But at some point, because of probably machismo or something, mm-hmm. and just this is how we do it over here, everybody's like, no, you stand to pee.
That's true. And most children, you know, are potty trained by women. You know, because most women raise, you know, do that particular act. And there are some men that do, but most women do it. So I was just wondering, does that impact, you know, this as far as that? Because yeah, most stand up. That's because a lot of women teach little boys, once they get to an age, you need to stand up to pee.
You think women are teaching the boys to stand up to pee?
Who does the potty training in most homes in America? I'm assuming women do. I might be wrong, but I'm assuming that most women teach all the children how to pee. In most households, most men, from my understanding, maybe I missed the boat, most men don't potty train children.
Here's the thing, though. When you go into a man's, I think I have the inside track on this that you don't have, because, you know, as a man that uses the men's room, bathroom, and was potty trained, I don't think that's what's happening. I don't think, like, there's an age where it's like, all right, now stand up to pee.
Okay.
I think the men are standing up to pee. So even as a little boy, when you can't physically stand up to pee because you're not taller than the toilet, you're like, when I get a certain age where I can stand up to pee, that's how I'm going to do it, because every man I've seen does that.
I don't think
it's like my mom always said, stand when you pee. I don't think that's happening at all.
Because most, you know, they probably do sit and eventually they stand up.
Yes. And I'm saying, it's not because a woman taught them that. It's because they're imitating what they've seen men do. And I'm saying that as a person with a penis that uses the male bathroom. Like, I don't really think this one's up for debate. I understand you got theories. But some theories.
That is my theory. I'm sorry.
Okay, I understand.
As a non-penis haver.
I'm just telling you, like, you go in a man's bathroom, there's some stalls, but there's mostly urinals. Like,
yes, troughs. Ugh.
Yeah, so it's all stand. Here's what I think is interesting. Because there's some bathrooms in America in the world where they have either bidets, or they have that kind of thing where you actually squat down to use the bathroom, and I would imagine you kind of do both there, and they don't have urinals and stuff like that. So I wonder how much that affects it. It's just different countries have different bathroom systems.
True.
And then the other thing is, it's nasty in there.
It is.
Like, if I go into a stall to pee, and there's anything, there's piss on the toilet, there's whatever on the floor, I'm not sitting down on shit, dog. Then I guess I'm part of the problem because I got to stand. Like,
yeah,
at home, I'll sit down because I know that toilet. I know that seat. I know who cleaned it. I know.
Ain't that the truth?
I know them germs. Yeah. I know everything. But in a fucking public setting, mm-hmm. I'm not sitting down on anything I don't have to sit down on.
Mm-mm. As women, you get real good at hovering.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm not sitting my ass on that.
Like, I'm good, fam.
Right, and men think it's bad with the
and the women's bathroom even nastier.
Yes, it is, sir. You're talking about blood and shit. It's terrible.
I had to clean that shit when I worked at McDonald's. It's even worse. So yeah,
it's like going through a goddamn war zone.
Yeah. All right, let's move into some other segments. We've done a lot today. And I think the NBA play-in games are starting, so we need to start wrapping up. Let's see. You know, I'm kind of done with racism. I feel like we...
For the day, we done had enough. Like, 100, I'm fucked with all the way around.
Feel like we've been there, done that with the racism.
Right.
Maybe we'll...
Your car is to the Supreme Court.
Yeah. Maybe we'll do another segment for something a little more positive. Maybe do a little black capitalism. How about that?
Shout out to Will Smith. I hear y'all talking. But the only thing I'm listening to is that paper.
Every day we get into that paper. Woo! I hear the money talk, I see you later. Look. Every day we get into that paper.
Woo!
I hear the money talk, I see you later.
All right, black capitalism. Let's celebrate some black people doing shit. Couple things for the one, the only, the iconic Tyler Perry.
Come on through, Tyler.
First of all, he landed a 4-year partnership deal with Netflix.
Come on through.
Okay, that was back in October of last year that he did that. Well, today it was announced he re-upped his deal with BET Media. Gets new seasons for 11 series.
On that BET Plus, right?
Including mm-hmm. Sisters and The Oval.
People love them shows.
Yeah, listen, this is why I can't really... I can't get on the anti-Tyler Perry plant.
Me either.
I'm just never going to be down with it because I'm never arguing to defend the artistic integrity of what he does or whatever the fuck. If it's not for me, I won't watch.
Right.
I have no problem not watching. I don't need to be at all the black events. It's fine. I missed it. I'm sorry I didn't catch up on The Oval. I'm sorry. I've never been powered of the power universe that y'all all love till you hate it. I hated it the first time. I said, ooh, this is going to be bad. And I just dropped out. I'm not judging y'all.
I
watched other bad shit that y'all would hate.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, it's not about y'all being bad black people. It's just, it wasn't for me.
Right, that sounds like, what's the hate? We all like all types of shit.
So, but I do love to see him being successful. Mm-hmm. And no, he's not perfect. And I already know the shit that y'all don't like about him. Or he didn't do this. Or he don't have writers on. I get it. It's not even about that for me.
Right.
Just... someone was going to get the money. Someone's going to do the thing. Black people love his shit. Mm-hmm.
He super serves his audience.
Yeah. They picked up new seasons of 8 current and 1 new series for him.
Let's go.
What's crazy to me is knowing he don't got a writer's room. How the fuck does he do this? Like, even if you say it's bad, it's hard. That's a prolific amount of bad. Even if you think all the stuff he does is mid to bad, you're making movies for Netflix that you seem to write all by yourself. These series you seem to write all by yourself. It's crazy. It's crazy. But
do you rest? It's the biggest question.
Yeah. It's like they said an 8th season for the number one series among black 18 to 49-year-old viewers on all of TV per BET is Tyler Perry's Sisters. That's the number one. Wow, I didn't know that. A 6th season renewal for The Oval. A 5th season renewal for Assisted Living and House of Pain. I didn't even know House of Pain was still going.
Me either.
And all on BET for House of Pain. This will be the season 11 overall.
Woo!
They renewed Tyler Perry. And by the way, all these have Tyler Perry's, but I'm just skipping over his name in them. But Zatima, Ruthless, All the Queen's Men, Bruh, a new crime drama called Route 187, greenlighted for a 2025 debut.
He gonna keep money coming in.
Yeah. So, man, good grief, you be getting to this paper.
I'm not even mad at him. If you like him or not, it's irrelevant. He gonna get to that money.
Let's see. And we'll do one more. Beyonce's new album, Cowboy Carter, breaks Spotify record. It became Spotify's most streamed album of the year in just a single day.
What did she say? If I gave a fuck about streamings, I would have put the shit on Spotify.
She did say that.
Yes, she did. I remember.
I guess she decided to give a fuck. It was streamed 76.13 million times since its debut on Spotify, significantly surpassing the numbers of her previous album, Renaissance, which garnered about 43 million streams at the time of its release. I gotta say, man, that's wild that, because I would have thought Renaissance would have been it. But I also do wonder if it's because it's country and white people that felt like Renaissance and self-titled and stuff eliminate, like, these aren't for me. I'm being treated in a black woman's space. You know, that she's not making the music for me. I wonder if, with it being country, even with it being Beyonce, and once you listen to it, you see it's still about her and black people. But before you hit play, it's like, oh, Beyonce got a country album. Now I do fuck with that. And I wonder if that's why the numbers jumped. I don't know why it would jump so high. That's 33 million more people.
Yeah, I do think that there is a subsection that, because it's country, actually listen because it was country. Like that, you know, like you said, even some black people who are into country was like, hey, she makes some country shit. Let me go check her out. I think for a lot of people, they underestimate what she does and how she kind of transcends things. And I appreciate it. And, you know, when and if and when will she probably go on tour? I can't even imagine the cowboy fits and shit like that. People think her last tour was big. I think if she goes on tour with this album, it might be larger.
I'd actually be surprised if she tours with it. It'll be interesting to see what she does. Because she just came off tour.
Right. She
hadn't toured before that. And so she didn't tour for like Black is King. Like, she doesn't tour for every album. So it'll be interesting to see if she actually does tour with this like anytime soon. But wow, and just,
but I hope she doesn't, but you know, that just me, so you know, because you know, you just was on tour and I'm like, hey, dog, like, get my pockets a rest.
But yeah, this marks the first time a country album has achieved this distinction this year on Spotify. It is also the biggest debut on Spotify by a black female artist ever.
Let's go,
Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah, and didn't they say, like, a lot of people that were featured and, like, a lot of other particularly black female country artists, they were saying, like, some of their streams, like, went up, like hundreds of percentage. They was like, yeah, because that Buckle Bunny is fucking flames. I play that shit on goddamn repeat. So, it's, you know, I found a lot of other artists that was similar to her. So, it is one of those things, no matter how you feel about Beyonce, it's one of those things where if she rises, everybody eats. Like, everybody eats, like, all these people that, you know, have been in this lane for years, that people probably, some people like me, not trying fun, have never heard of before because I'm not in the country like that. Like, oh, I'll check you out. And you go, oh, these motherfuckers is singing. Let's go.
All right, let's get to some Guess the Race to start wrapping this thing up.
This time for Guess the Race. This time,
all all right, guess the race time. Go around the globe, find different articles, guess the race of the people involved. Karen plays along, chat room plays along, and they're all racist. Memphis, Tennessee. A man was arrested after Memphis police say he attempted to rob a gas station with a live snake on Monday.
Oh, shit.
Reginald Cook, 26, is charged with 2 counts of attempted aggravated robbery. His bond was set at $4,000. It's around 2 a.m. He walked into a Shell.
The Shell gas station?
Yeah, on Elvis Presley.
What, Elvis Presley? For real?
Yeah. And he made a purchase. About 30 minutes later, he went back to the store, demanded money from the register. The cashier thought he had a weapon because he kept reaching to his clothing. After the cashier refused to open the register, he left. 35 minutes later, he came back with a live 5-foot snake wrapped around his neck and carried a green backpack, shouting at the cashier, "Give me the fucking money," while reaching inside the backpack. The cashier called 911, pulled out his own firearm, because it is Memphis.
Oh, shit!
No money was taken and no one was injured.
Look, if you book, you fucking around with the wrong one, dog.
MPD took Cook into custody, found a railroad spike and a rock inside his backpack. They also took possession of the snake. Oh, hope they didn't put it down.
Right?
Is it evidence? Can you present the snake as evidence? Right?
The snake is like, what? No, why am I in it?
Your Honor, I present to you Exhibit S. The store owner said Cook's family came by the store Tuesday to apologize. He said they also offered to pay for any damages. So he's probably having some mental health issues or something. All right, Karen, guess the race of Mr. Reginald Cook.
Reginald Cook, black.
Okay. Let's check the chat room, see what they believe Reginald Cook's race is. Let's see. That's a white Reggie, says KGH. Everyone in the black house has a job, including the snake. Black black Reginald sounds like a nigga. Black snake moan. The correct answer. That's a good one. The correct answer is black. I think one person got it wrong.
Yeah, I went black because I don't know no white cooks.
Okay.
I know that might sound strange. Like, I don't know no white people named Cook.
That's a good one. On the low, I think that's a good call. I can't remember a lot of white cooks. Like, now I think of famous athletes and stuff. You know, Dalvin Cook is black. You know, that's a good one.
Most of them I know are black. So I was like, I might be wrong on this one. Like, it might be a white cook family out there, but I don't know them.
Yeah, I mean, it might be out there, but the ones I'm thinking, Quinn Cook is black. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they probably named them after what they did for a living. White people probably brought them to America and was like, Cook. And then they just start calling them that. Mm-hmm. All right, let's do another one. How about man arrested for Easter Bible belt? Wait, Easter Bible belting of Walgreens worker.
What?
On Easter, he's risen.
The sun is rising, so is my belt. What is this?
Maybe he was mad that the Cadbury eggs wasn't on sale. You got to come back the day after Easter if you want that 50% off. On Easter, the managers of a Walgreens store suffered a Bible belting because she was being rude, according to a customer who is now facing felony battery charge. Police say Peter Owens, 35, went to the pharmacy Sunday evening purchasing a pair of headphones. While at the Clearwater, Florida business, Owens got into a verbal altercation with an employee over the headphones. When Nicole Merck, the 36-year-old store manager, approached Owens and asked him to leave the Walgreens, Peter used a brown Bible in his hand and struck her in the face one time before exiting the store.
Woo!
Damn, he got beat with a Bible. That's bad.
And it wouldn't be surprising if they came over there because you was acting the ass. Like, something was happening. The arena manager over there, like, you got to leave.
Of course, yeah. It's not like they bother you for no reason.
Right.
You know, if they got to, because those are I won't say laziest. Let's just say they're understaffed.
Yes, so they are. And the last thing they want to do is come out there and interact with customers.
you go into a Walgreens or a CVS lately, basically all the person at the front dude that's not a pharmacy is stand by the self-checkout to be like, there you go, self-checkout.
That's all they do.
So they have to actually come talk to you. You was wilding.
Yes, you was. You pulled them out the back room.
But yeah, he just struck her in the face with a Bible. I thought that only happened to black children in church when they was being too loud around their grandmama. Wouldn't stop talking. After the alleged Bible battery, cops located Owens and took him into custody. After being read his rights, he reportedly admitted to striking Merk in the face one time with his Bible because she was being rude to him.
Oh, we know. It was all on camera, dog. There were cameras everywhere.
But then he stated he did not mean to hit her.
Whatever, bitch.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
It's not like I walked in the store to hit her, but the bitch wouldn't shut up. Like, oh, okay, wait a minute. The criminal charge against Owens was enhanced to a felony count because he has a 2020 conviction in Michigan for assault and battery.
Oh, you don't say, with that same Bible, apparently.
He was sentenced to a year's probation. Owens was released from the county jail last night after posting $5,000 bond. A judge has ordered him to have no contact with Merk, and he must stay away from the Walgreens outlet.
Good.
Well, hopefully that's not his pharmacy, you know.
Got a chance for the medications.
He works as a golf instructor and is a Wayne State University graduate. He now lives in Ellington, a golf course city near Sarasota. Guess the race.
Oh, 100% white. But apparently you know how to act. I see you ain't out there whooping them people taking your training class because they rude.
What was he doing with the Bible? Do he just carry that on him? Walked into Walgreens holding your Bible?
Right.
On Easter? And then this is what you think Jesus would be doing?
Right.
On his day? White, the spirit compels you, redneck resurrection. Whiter than Megyn Kelly's Jesus. A nigga would never disrespect Jesus like that, Caucasity. I said, turn the other cheek so I can hit it too, white. Bishop book in white. Knock the devil out of her, good Christian white. The
knock it out.
Correct answer is white.
Didn't mean to. If you don't get out of here.
That's him in the PGA Tour hat with the shades, which is just standard issue white guy behavior.
Mm-hmm. And you had no to hit her in the face.
With a Bible. That's right. Wild.
Wow. Out here Bible thumping. Get out of here, sir.
They had to present that as evidence in court. That you hit somebody with a Bible. That's wild as fuck.
I guess what he could have said, he was spreading the word, apparently.
Apparently so. One punch at a time. All right, let's go to the bonus round. Karen is 2 for 2.
Yay!
That's a bitch was white!
I ain't racist. How can I be racist about anybody or anything in my life? How can I?
Call them niggas. Just call them niggas.
It's time to get
gold teeth, gold chain wearing, fried chicken and biscuit eating monkey, ate baboon, big thigh, fast running, high jumping, spear chucking, 360 degree basketball.
Someone said Gemstone White in the chat. That's hilarious.
I can see one of them doing that with the Bible. Mm-hmm. Your boy,
Baby Billy.
Yes,
that give a whole new meaning to Baby Billy's Bible thump bumpers.
Yes, it does.
Bumped upside the head with that Bible. Man found drunk, naked, sitting in a garbage can. Arguing that he was not subject to arrest, the Florida man told police he was allowed to be drunk and disorderly and sit naked in a trash can on a public sidewalk, according to the arrest affidavit. St. Petersburg cops alleged that Wiley James Weeks, 35, was entitled. First of all, that could also just be his description. He was Wiley. But he was intoxicated, unsteady on his feet.
What he say his name? My name is Wiley Coyote, super genius.
Unsteady on his feet and smelled of booze when they discovered him late Saturday evening on a downtown street. He was extricated sans clothes from a corner trash can and arrested for disorderly intoxication and resisting an officer without violence, both of which are misdemeanors. In addition to claiming that he could not be punished for his loose take on Oscar the Grouch, Weeks said he did not have to provide officers with his name or demographics. Sir, they can look at you and see the demographics.
You didn't have anything on you. What were you going to do?
That's straight up drunk people logic.
Yes, and it makes sense to them.
Like, y'all don't have to give you my name or my demographics. They're like, sir, you're clearly 5'2". Like, come on. He pleaded guilty to both counts and was fined $520. His rap sheet overflows with theft, disorderly conduct, panhandling, criminal mischief, and other misdemeanor convictions. One of his prior busts came after weeks and a male friend was spotted drunk and naked on the Tampa street after they exited a bar. So he like, he don't like clothes.
He is anti-clothes.
He started drinking. He's like, I gotta get
the clothes got to come off. Is it hot in here? It's hot to me.
The duo told cops they thought it would be funny to strip off their clothes.
That's drug logic.
So yeah, all right. Guess the race of Mr. Wiley James Weeks.
Oh, white.
Karen's going with white. Let's check.
All this nakedness.
They didn't shoot him white, says Devil Bitch. Let's see if anybody else is gonna guess. See now, a brother knows he can be drunk and disorderly or drunk and naked, but only a white Alco American goes for the trifecta. White Russian. I thought this was America white. I love trash singer Oscar cosplay and motherfucking white. White clothing optional white. Why the white guy who Lee Daniels' daddy also put in the trash?
Oh no.
Oh, the correct answer is white. Not going to lie, little surprised we didn't get a single black on that, because I thought his name sounded kind of black. Wiley James Weeks.
But just the Weeks, the crime.
Yeah, Weeks seems like a black last name to me, but... Yeah, y'all. I mean, y'all got it right. So it's not. This isn't me saying anything other than just I thought somebody would guess. I might have even guessed black, but obviously I would have been wrong. All right, let's go to the last thing: sword ratchetness. A woman was arrested after a man's arm was cut with a sword during a fight in Campbell.
Oh.
Yeah. A woman is charged with felonious assault after police said she cut up a man's arm early Sunday morning with a sword. Not Sunday morning. Mm-mm-mm. This looks like X-H-Y-A-I-R-E Smith. So I'm guessing Zaire? Which the spelling makes me go black. I don't have her picture, but
I'm under that assumption too.
X-H-Y-A-I-R-E. That sound like us.
Yeah, that sound like a us spelling.
She has yet to be arraigned on a charge, second degree felony, after she was arrested when police were called about 12:15 a.m. Sunday to a home on Hamilton Street for a report of unknown trouble. And they found a drunken man on the porch bleeding heavily from his arm. Reports say the man was so drunk you could not tell police what happened. It was like that white girl we saved in the parking lot.
Yes.
Hello?
I didn't know what was happening.
Hey.
Sir, get out the trash can.
He was eventually taken to Elizabeth Health Center. Reports said there was a large amount of blood on the porch and in the driveway. When they made their way inside, they saw Smith being restrained by a man. Police also saw several drops of blood on the carpet. They said the man who was restraining Smith told police that Smith and the victim began arguing. The man tried to get his things and leave. She grabbed her sword, so she keep that thing on her. And when the victim tried to disarm her, the two began to struggle. The man was cut several times on the arm. After several minutes, the injured man was able to grab the sword and throw it into the yard. Police say they found the sword and it had blood on it. They took Smith into custody. Smith was banging her head against a holding cell wall when police tried to book her. When she was taken into the Mahoning County Jail, they refused to take her. She was taken to the Elizabeth Health Center for observation. So the jail was like, no, she's having a mental something.
Right.
And this is not the place for that. She right. got to go to the hospital.
Correct. They were like, we can't have her in here banging her head against the wall in the jail. No, thank right. you.
All right. That's it for today's show. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. We appreciate y'all. We'll be back hopefully throughout. Let's see, today's Tuesday, so hopefully we'll be back tomorrow. But we have other plans and stuff. Look out for us on the For All Nerds podcast, because we're supposed to be talking about X-Men tomorrow with them. Benjamin DM me, so that'll probably be out Thursday or something. So you get our thoughts on X-Men 97. Yeah, that's it. And I think Sunday, JL Covan's going to be the guest coming up. So yeah, you know, lots of cool things happening. All right, until next time, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.